All right, so Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. Sunday, 7:20 kickoff, 4:20 Texans countdown out at the stadium. I cannot wait. First real primetime game since 2019 for the Houston Texans. I'm not counting back in the 2021 and 2022 seasons where you still had to give every team a Thursday game. That doesn't count. This is a legit, we want to put these guys on national TV, primetime game, and it's awesome. It's going to be fun. So the last time they did one of these was back in 2019 against the New England Patriots. A win for the Houston Texans, led by Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. My times have changed. So yeah. Here we are, Sunday Night Football. Caleb Williams, CJ Stroud are going to be a whole lot of fun. Both teams 1-0 also. I don't know that the Bears necessarily deserve to be 1-0. Well, they deserve it. You win games certain kind of ways. I don't know that this is a sustainable way to remain undefeated. You know, block
punts.
It's not,
Caleb Williams is the first rookie quarterback drafted number one overall to win his first game since David Carr.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much, I think David had a better game that day versus the Cowboys than Caleb Williams did. But it was that kind of a performance. It was the special teams and the defense of the Bears that just destroyed the Titans in a lot of ways. And that's where it's, but it is, you know what? I'm glad that they won that game that way, because it's very easy for the Texans coaches to look at last week's game and for Bobby Slowick offensively to say, all right, look, you see some of the mistakes we made last week. Let's watch this defense. Let's watch their interceptions from last year. This is a team that can capitalize on your mistakes.
Yep.
We can't have these little hiccups and get away with it against this defense nearly like we may have been able to last week. So let's clean this stuff up ASAP.
Yep. So Seth, there are half the league is 0-1 right now. That's the way it works. There were no ties last week, so half the league is 0-1. And there's a lot of teams I'm really rooting to go 0-2, in part because I don't like those teams, or I don't like their quarterback, or their teams that I'm, like in the case of the Colts, them going 0-2 would be a real nice boon in the division here for the Texans, because I think the Colts are the second best team in this division. So I put the teams that are 0-1 into three buckets as far as how I'm looking at them possibly going 0-2. There are six teams that I am on my knees praying lose this weekend, because I think 0-2 could make for some really intriguing Mondays for these teams.
Right, right.
There's a few teams there's a few that I'm praying for. There's a few that I think are just merely intriguing, like Baltimore going 0-2 to start the season. I don't hate the Ravens. I just think it would be really interesting that a team like that be 0-2. And then there's a few teams I just don't care. Like the Raiders, they go 0-2. If a Raider falls in the woods, does it make a noise? Like that kind of thing. Here are the six teams that I'm praying go 0-2, and I'll see if you will be heading to church with me to get on your knees and pray as well.
Yeah, God loves it when you pray for failure of others.
Stuff.
That's
yes. John 4:16. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The New York Jets. Now, I know they're playing the Tennessee Titans, and empirically it would seem like, okay, we should be rooting against the Titans. We hate the Titans. No, the Titans will take care of sucking on their own this season. I don't need to pray for the Titans to lose. The Jets starting out 0-2 with a whole bunch of primetime games coming up, and Robert Saleh with that dead, my soul is dead look on his face, and Aaron Rodgers, the Jets going 0-2 would be very, very fun.
I feel I can't enjoy your you delighting in Robert Saleh's misfortune or bad, unfortunate situation, because I like Robert Saleh a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like he's been thrust into a situation where, if it weren't the Jets and if Robert Saleh hadn't been the coach the previous year where they also didn't have a quarterback, I think last year people would have said, like, wow, you know what? That guy didn't have a quarterback. He didn't have an actual viable quarterback the entire year. And look at what he did with that Jets team. And instead, he's getting lambasted because mostly he doesn't know how to properly answer impossible to answer questions about Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
So, I hear the biggest criticism of Robert Saleh is like, well, he just doesn't look like he knows what to say when people ask him impossible to answer questions. Like, yeah. All right. I don't know. I like the drama of all of it.
Yeah.
I feel like with Aaron Rodgers, the part that annoys me is that there's part of Aaron Rodgers where just, I I want to pray for his demise simply because of the football stuff and the way he's operated on football. But he's become a crossover sensation into where it becomes political and people think you're making a statement about vaccines or something. Part of that's because the way Aaron Rodgers handles it himself.
Big part.
I know,
yeah.
The fact that Nathaniel Hackett is his offensive coordinator mm-hmm. is the reason that I want him to fail.
Yeah.
Because this is everything. This has all the hallmarks of a diva who wants things his way, even though it's not actually good for the team.
Okay.
And so they're up there with a bad offensive coordinator and an aging quarterback who's not as athletic as he used to be. I want it to blow up in their faces.
So you're with me on this. You just didn't like my drive-by on Robert Saleh's hollow soul.
I didn't like that, and yeah. I feel like I have to point out that I'm not trying to make some grandiose political statements about vaccines
right.
or anything. I have a long-standing record of Rodgers kind of annoying me.
Yeah,
like,
I got
long
you.
Before I ever knew what a COVID was.
I got you. All right, let's get to these other ones here. Denver hosts the Pittsburgh Steelers. Denver going 0-2. I think we just illustrated why at the end of the previous segment with Cowherd, slurping at the altar of Sean Payton and Bo Nix right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, and also, the most realistic scenario as various scenarios have been painted out to me over the last year is that the Broncos really wanted D'Amico Ryans,
mm-hmm.
and that Sean Payton wasn't necessarily as put out by his Zoom call as guys like Colin Cowherd might have had you believe.
Right.
But flat out, the Texans had a better option in D'Amico Ryans, and also the Walmart money from the ownership out there in Denver is going to be able to money whip just about anybody in the league.
Yep.
So, yeah, Sean Payton acting like, oh, no, I was always their first choice.
Right.
Yeah, you can go die a football death,
Thank
Sean
you.
Payton.
There you go. There
Thank
you go.
You.
All right, the third one. There's six teams I'm praying go 0-2 this weekend. Cleveland is the third one. I don't think we need to do it. Now, the only interesting thing about Cleveland is they play Jacksonville. So, in theory, we should be rooting for Cleveland because Jacksonville's in the division and Jacksonville will go 0-2, and that would be great. I just can't bring myself to root for Deshaun Watson. So, I need this Cleveland thing. I need the misery in Cleveland to continue for weeks and weeks.
You know what? I was watching this show, The Terror, on Netflix, mm-hmm. and there are a couple scenes in here where you get to the point where you're like, all right, just put a pillow over this dude's face and put him out of his misery, please.
Yeah.
Just, I feel like that for Browns fans. You got to just rip the Band-Aid off and take your medicine. Like, this thing is over. This is the best for everybody involved is if Deshaun Watson plays just so incredibly bad that you have to cut ties and move on with your life.
Yep.
Or put the pillow over his face and smother him to death.
Thank you. That's what I was waiting for. There you
Metaphorically.
Go. Metaphorically, of course. The fourth one, the Indianapolis Colts. And this one actually is more like football empirical. I mean, I hate the Colts. And so, a team I hate going 0-2. But they play Malik Willis this week. And they play Green Bay up in Green Bay with Malik Willis starting. They go 0-2. With Malik Willis starting, I'm guessing in Indianapolis, they're looking at this game right now, like the fans, as like they got a break. They caught a break. They got a free roll here because they didn't have to catch Jordan Love in Green Bay. They get Malik Willis, who has been abjectly terrible as an NFL quarterback. This would be big for the Texans, I think, if the Colts go 0-2 to start the season and the Texans go 2-0.
I feel like for this entire week we're on social media, you've been seeing over and over again the most incredible throw I've ever seen out of Anthony Richardson.
Yes, I'm tired of this.
I really feel like you could have the same caption on him misfiring to the wide open A.D. Mitchell in the end zone.
Agreed.
It's one of the most incredible throws I've ever seen. It's
incredibly poor. Yeah,
I want Malik Willis to out-quarterback Anthony Richardson.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
that's
what I'm
saying. Yeah, I 100%
want that. Okay, good. We're on the same page there. The last two. Praying these teams start 0-2. I mean, the Giants. The Giants face the Commanders in Washington. I need the misery of John Mara to continue. Ooh. I also need Saquon to get three more touchdowns this weekend. And so, did you see what Saquon did? Joe, did you see what Saquon did? Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, Daniel Jones, I need misery in New York. And plus, Giant fans are obnoxious. I need misery up in New York.
If I had to choose, if we were to say Bobby Slowick accepts a head coaching job this offseason, there's nothing you can do about it. He's going to accept one. I would feel I'd feel good. I'd feel happy for him if he went to the Giants.
I would too.
I think as long as they got rid of Joe Shane, the GM.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
I think that
and Daniel Jones, the quarterback. Like start.
Yeah, well,
fresh.
Right. Yeah. I don't want him going up there and it's like and that he has to see if you can make it work with Daniel Jones.
Brian Daboll did, and that's what's going to ultimately get him fired. He actually fixed Daniel Jones enough to get him a big deal and have to have him stick around for two more years.
The biggest mistake he made as a coach was overperforming with that team the first year he was there. 100%.
I'm not even joking about it. Like, he should have just, like, I know he was doing his best.
It's like Brian Flores.
Dude, if
he should have, you know?
Yeah, well, if they were just flat out bad that year, they weren't going to fire Brian Daboll if they went 4-13. He's a first-year coach with a bad quarterback. They could have drafted C.J. Stroud, potentially, instead of extending Daniel Jones. So, I'm with you. Yeah, Giants, I'd be cool with Slowick going there, but I'm very cool with them going 0-2 to start the season.
Joe Shane really annoys me as a GM.
Yes.
I think he needs to be stripped of his job.
Yep.
And never get a GM job again, unless it's for the Colts.
Yeah, last. Oh, that would be awesome. Last one, Carolina Panthers. I continue to root for Dave Tepper's misery, Bryce Young's misery. Bryce seems like a really nice kid. I'm not going to lie, I'm very entertained by his press conferences after these losses where he comes in with the sleeveless T-shirt on and he's scratching his left arm because he's nervous about the question. The only thing he's missing, Seth, is one of those bracelets that kids used to wear like back in the 80s that were kind of like a braided sort of bracelet that kids used to wear.
Yeah.
It's the only thing he's missing to look like he's truly 11 years old at the press.
You're going up there wearing, he needs to start wearing swatches and jelly shoes. Somebody earlier pointed out when we were reading that article from The Athletic that recounts the story of C.J. Stroud after the Indianapolis loss in week 2 last year.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud getting up and giving a fiery speech, basically just telling everybody they better get their crap together. Somebody said, can you imagine Bryce Young doing that after one of their early losses last year? And No. Guy, come on, guys.
I mean, I can, and it's really funny.
Yeah, guy, come on, guys. We just need to play better than this.
Hey,
yeah.
How we doing? Yeah. Like, he walks into the locker room, and he's like, we're doing terrible. We just lost to the Colts, man. Why are you asking how we're doing? Yell at us.
Yeah, but we got to spend time with our friends. And friendship is important.
Jim Harbaugh is going to end up starting out 2-0 as a Charger coach. I mean, that's who the Panthers are playing this week.
Yeah.
They're playing the Chargers.
Harbaugh is the guy that, there's some coaches that come in, and honestly, this is going to sound weird. There was an element to Bill O'Brien as a head coach where he ran a tight ship. Yeah. You know, like at the very least, you run a tight ship and it pays dividends in comparison to some of these guys that get head coaching jobs these days. And they do not have the personality of a head coach. They are offensive coordinators who got the job because they're an offensive coordinator or vice versa. And they don't, you know, Cliff Kingsbury is this way. He's just sloppy in a lot of ways when it comes to like acting like an NFL coach.
Mm-hmm.
And Harbaugh is that, but to an extreme degree, the good part of it.
Yes.
That he's going to run a tight ship. He's going to have whichever offense he's running, things are going to be tight and crisp, and they're going to be a better team in a lot of respects, and they have a quarterback. So, yeah, I think I think that's a fair. What's the line on this? Is it like
the line on it? You want to? Well, you're a gambler now. Let's guess. What do you think?
It's nine and a half.
Well, it's Chargers at Panthers. It's in Carolina, so it's, keep that in mind. You still think nine?
And the Panthers' defense is good. Okay, so I'll say it's at 6.5 because they don't want to go all the way up to 7.
5.5. Yeah,
okay.
Chargers 5.5. Good guess.
Thank you for pointing out the
venue matters.
Savvy, aren't I? I knew to adjust for 3 points, and then there you go.
You're getting good at this, man, for sure.
What's my win on if I guess it within 1 point? Is that
For spreads? I don't know. Ben's the one who's the administer of the ding and the buzz. If Seth is guessing a line, what does he need to be within to get your approval, Ben?
I have no idea. I don't know anything.
You don't
about
know anything
this.
About gambling? I'm going to say within 1.5. If Seth is within 1.5. Then he gets a ding. So give him a ding for that one. All right, good job. Yeah, and Seth gave himself. I'm going to give him one, too. Here, real quick. There we go. Yeah,
good job.
Thank you. Yeah, good job. Good job, all of us. So, man, there's some other ones, though, that are intrigued. Those are the ones I'm really hoping go 0-2 just for the drama on Monday. But Baltimore's 0-1 right now. Cincinnati's the big one. Dude, people are bailing on Cincinnati right
now. Yeah, I need to.
And they play the Chiefs. They will be 0-2 on Monday.
Anybody in the AFC, Yeah. You put the Jaguars as a whatever if they start off 0-2. Oh my gosh, Sean, they just paid their quarterback and they're in the division.
They did, but I'm looking at it kind of specifically because they play Cleveland this weekend. You know what I mean?
Oh, I got you. Did you already explain that?
Not to that level of detail, but I had mentioned they played each other. But yeah, it's okay.
All right,
yeah.
So if Jacksonville starts off 1-1. But Cleveland is 0-2. You're going to be happier.
I'll be fine because I think the Jags, being a mediocre team, will take care of itself over time.
I'm going to have my cake and eat it too. I want the Jags to start off 0-2.
Okay.
And for Cleveland to win, but only because they have a brilliant defensive performance.
They have the same game script as the Bears last week.
Yeah, Deshaun throws three picks, but they somehow win the game. Then I'd be cool with that. If Jacksonville, with their newly paid quarterback, starts off 0-2.
That's actually what they've done quite a bit of with Deshaun. Like, Deshaun's record as a starting quarterback with the Browns is 8-5. He's been horrible, but that's how good they are as a team. Is there 8-5 with him as a starting quarterback?
I'd kind of like to see Jaden Daniels do well, so I don't want to root for Washington to start off.
I like him too. Yeah,
I'd like to see him be the guy kind of that the old school scouts didn't trust because this, that, and the other, or there was a narrative written on him already by the time he was in his last year at LSU. I'd like it to work out for Jaden Daniels.
All right, up next, 5 reasons I hate you. We just got done hating on teams that could go 0-2, but we take aim directly at the Chicago Bears. We do it every Friday. 5 reasons I hate you for the Texans' opponent this weekend. It is the Bears edition. Seth, you got a little injury report for the people here?
Oh, we do, Sean.
Yeah.
We certainly do. What are the injuries? Oh, Schultz is still out with an ankle. Malik Collins has an illness.
No, Nico Collins.
Nico Collins. Malik Collins, who knows? Nico Collins still has an injury, or has an illness, but he should be fine. Pierce with a hamstring, Scruggs with a groin. They are all limited. The two Bears wide receivers, this is the big one, Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze, are both still out. So a quarterback who was not on the same page as his receivers last week, Caleb Williams with Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze, will not have time to iron those things out in practice this week. So that is a good sign for your Houston Texans. That is your injury report brought to you by Mokarem Law.